What's up, family? BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports, contests, events with first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews and news for every league from the MLB, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information, from live in-game betting, props and futures. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to join today and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50, BLEAV 50 to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts, who's a proud sponsor of the Boss Man Show on your radio. All right, folks, back on the Boss Man Show, friend of the show, UMES, Eastern Shore Hawks, my man Jay Kraft, doing his thing, Jason Kraft from the Boss Man Show out of MEAC. What's up, brother? How you doing, man?
Boss Man, it's the first time I've seen you without the fitted hat, man. What's going on, man? Good. Letting the hair out a little bit. I like it. I like it. I wish I could grow my hair out a little bit, but this is all I got.
Off-season, brother. Off-season. I let the hair grow out. So, we come October 18th, I'm going to cut it off again. Go with the fake
cap. I got you.
Bro, like, you head into your fourth season, really your third, because of COVID year. So, man, how does it feel in here, coming in here to your third real year, man, or a full season without COVID restrictions, man? How's it been for you guys, man?
You know what, man? It's been great just kind of getting the guys going. You know, I think the whole country is excited as official practice is about to start this week for a lot of schools in the country. And, you know, we're just getting out, working our way into things. You know, we've got seven returners. You know, we've got, I'm sorry, eight returners. Then we've got five new guys on the roster. And so we've got some veterans, and then we've got some new guys to implement into everything that we're trying to do. So it's a process right now. I like the balance of old elder statesmen versus some young blood as well. And we're enjoying just getting ready for competition.
I hear that, man. And you know what's good about it, brothers? Like, you got all these guys coming and want to play for you. Last year, man, you all shocked the world last year. People that thought you were last in the nation. You got 11 wins last year, man. Kids play hard as hell. So how was offseason workouts knowing that, hey, we got a bit off of what we did last year to be a better team this year going forward?
Yeah, well, that's the challenge. And, you know, I say every time, you know, you take over a bad program when you win 11 games and everybody's like, well, you shocked the world or whatever the case may be. That's just how bad Mallee Eastern Shore basketball has been. But we're really focused on trying to take this thing to the next step, you know, and keep pushing forward and putting ourselves in position to be playing deeper in March, you know, and that's the goal right now is to capitalize off of the foundation that we've laid as being one of the top defensive teams in the country, and now be able to put it all together and be able to play some more consistent offense, not turn the basketball over, make some more shots, and be able to be a team that you can look at and say, hey, that's a team that can compete, not just to win the MEAC championship, but also to win games in March. And that's what we're trying to get this program to. We're trying to do something that's never been done before. Easier said than done, but that's the journey that we're on right now. And keeping these guys locked in and focused on that, you know, is the biggest thing that we're trying to do, not letting them get too excited about, hey, just because we made a step last year, that automatically means we're going to be able to just now jump out here and win 20 games. It just doesn't work like that. It's a process, and we're going to have to work harder than we've ever had to work before. I like our guys. I like the journey. Now it's time to get it done.
Now, Kraft, I saw your 9-9 con, brother. I'm looking at this ODU, Charlotte, Virginia, GW, Mason, Duke, Temple. Those guys don't want to play you because y'all were so good last year. I was like, oh no, there's some guys playing for me, man. I'm shocked and surprised. But talk to me about that, man.
We couldn't get the same games that we were getting in years past. And then, you know, when you start to make some steps forward, you know, the same teams don't want to play anymore. So there is an upgrade in terms of the quality of talent we're going to play in those non-conference guarantee games. You know, you get a chance to go play against Duke and Cameron Indoor Stadium, you know. So part of that was certain teams didn't want to play us anymore, you know. So now you, but to get an opportunity to go play against that, you know, Duke in a historic building like that with all the history that they have, our guys are excited about that opportunity. Virginia, a program that's won a national championship in recent years. So those are going to be two big-time step-ups. We played Temple last year, but they've got a lot of guys returning, so they'll be even better. So you're definitely going to see some upgrades in the games, and we've also made some upgrades in our talent, and also we've got guys that have gotten better. So we're looking forward to the challenge.
No doubt. You have that background development of players, brothers. So I know you're going to have your guys ready to talk about that, man. So this summer, how much in them 8 weeks did you put in actual schemes versus just letting guys work on their games and getting better all the way around?
Yeah, I think, you know, this is such a society now in basketball where it's just like, let's play. And, you know, I'm still old school in terms of how I was raised in this business, be a Coach Wright at Villanova and the time I spent in the NBA and the G League and time I spent at the Naval Academy with Billy Lang in terms of player development, like you said. And we spent a lot of time on the fundamentals and, you know, the footwork and how to catch the ball and spacing and all those types of things. So when you get to that live competition, you know, you've got those repetitions in where you have that muscle memory to make it happen. So we had 4 weeks in the summertime. You know, a lot of programs have the kids up for longer. We came up for the third session, had a good 4 weeks of skill training in, and we just finished our fourth week of preseason. So we're heading into week five right now. And we're still, even today, going to be doing some skill development. Every day is going to be something within skill development, even when we're in full-fledged practice mode, because guys got to get better. They got to get better with the shot. You know, we're not always going to have the best players, so we got to get the good players that we got, keep getting them better so they can go out there and do, you know, great things when they get to the games.
And who are some of your key returning guys that people need to look out for this year, brother?
We got a lot of returning guys that are household names for us. You know, I think the number one guy that probably stands out is Deshaun Phillip, who has been an all-conference player for us the last couple of years. Was an all-rookie player for us as well. He's a senior 6'5 guard, played multiple positions for us, has led our team in steals multiple years. He'll be back playing on and off the ball. Keyvon Boyles is a guy, 6'2", 6'3 guard, lefty that's continued to get better. He'll be back in the rotation, a guy that's everyone's seen as a senior. Zion Styles, high-flying, athletic guy. A lot of the highlights you see in those games, the weakest steals get out in transition, and he's out there throwing it down with, you know, ferociousness and tenacity. You know, he's a 6'4 wing player that brings a lot of energy on the defensive end and is a great attack in the rim on offense. Cohen Thompson, who's stretched the floor, played a lot of four for us last year, but could play some five as well, 6'8 shooter. Nate Pollard, one of the best undersized bigs in the MEAC, you know, close to averaging a double-double last year, was on the all-defensive team. So a lot of guys, and then we add some new pieces to the equation as well. We also return Chase Davis, who's on the all-rookie team, 6'2 combo guard. You know, a lot of guys coming back that are going to be guys that you're going to look at to do some special things. And then, you know, we got some good recruits that came in here as well. Amadou Fofana, grad transfer from Canisius, you know, started every game for them at the point guard spot. New York kid that's going to come in and give us some more depth at the point guard position. Troy Hupstee was a big all-region player in JUCO and Panola Junior College in Texas. Brings in some size for us at 6'7", 250, actually 240, just a strong body kid. And Victory Naboya, 6'8", long kid from the DMV that can block shots, you know, and run the floor. So I'm probably forgetting somebody, but, you know, we got a lot of different guys coming back and a lot of mix of guys coming in that are going to be able to give us, you know, the opportunity to have some different flavor in our rotations this year.
No doubt. And then do you feel like you guys going playing in a tournament last year? Also, you know, you guys, you know, winning more games helped your recruiting this time around. The guys actually believe what you're selling out there on the shore there and say, hey, this is what somebody can be a part of.
You know what? I think anytime it gave us a little bit more to show. You know, I think the guys that came here, shout out to our original recruiting class that's still here, you know, and the Deshaun Phillip and the Keyvon Boyles and Glenn Jojo Anderson that's here as seniors now. Those guys, they came in blind. You know, they came in and said, you know, here's a new coach here and, you know, the place that hasn't done much. And we didn't have a lot of data to show them. We just could tell them what we wanted to do, what we were striving to do. You know, now the last crop of guys that came in this year, they were able to see glimpses okay, here's Maryland Eastern Shore beating Fordham in double overtime. Here's here's them going toe-to-toe with UConn. You know, hey, we're going to play Duke next year, and the upgrades that we've made to the locker room and things that we're striving to do now in terms of facilities. And this new wave got a chance to come in and see some things that have been done and see some things that we're striving to do and have a little bit more data. So, yeah, it definitely helps anytime you get your program out there in the national eye, have some success. And like I said, we're just hungry for more success. You know, we're excited about the things that we've done and built, but we also want to do more. And I think we got a group of guys that's looking forward to that challenge.
No doubt, man. And I wish they would give you all more glory than MEAC, man, the SWAC. I feel like, hey, look at y'all. Those the black conferences. So we don't care what they do. You know, it's like they're not that good. The ball's good in y'all conferences. You just got to watch it, you know. HBCU's conferences. Don't ask unless make the MEAC and the SWAC. But how do you feel as a coach when you hear the people in the media that's not who don't care about you other than when something bad happens, always down the conference? It's crazy, right?
Unless something bad happens. No, it's good basketball, man. I think, you know, unfortunately, you put the HBCU tag on it, and for some reason that creates the stigma that it's not good basketball, which is such a negative connotation or perception of HBCU athletics in general. You know, I think that you see what Deion Sanders is doing with Jackson State in football, and, you know, and basically just trying to say, hey, we're here and this is good football. And I think to see the same thing happening in HBCUs for basketball, you see what Rob Jones and Norfolk State's doing. You see what Lavelle Moten at North Carolina Central has been doing for a long period of time. And, you know, you see what Howard's trying to do, and you see what Maryland Eastern Shore, we've got a new administration here that's trying to push this thing forward, and you see what Morgan State's doing, and Dell State, and Coppin State, and all these great teams and great historical black colleges. And, you know, there's a brand of basketball now that's being played at this level that's different than it's been in the past. It's always been gritty. It's always been scrappy. But now you got a new wave of coaches that are coming into these institutions, and you got new administrations coming in. And the flavor is now starting to change, and it's starting to become more innovative. And it's a league right now. And HBCUs as a whole is on a rise. So it's good basketball. It's great coaching. And I'm excited to be a part of it.
No doubt, man. I got to ask you, man, how much do you, being around the G League and being on the NBA, how much you decide to maybe you want to put in some NBA schemes with your guys and use some of those same concepts with your guys? I know, of course, in college ball, you can really zone up for real. NBA really hating zone up for real. But do you ever think, how much do you look at those on the film and say, hey, I want to put these concepts on some of my guys, kind of see if we can do these things too?
Yeah, I think if you talk to our guys, we're a very probably NBA kind of driven program in terms of how we do things, not just in terms of our offensive schematics, you know, and how we space the floor and our four-round one or our five-out concepts and driving kick motion and things that we do that's similar to what we did when I was with the Philadelphia 76ers. You know, we also take a lot of pride in load management. You know, I think at the college level, if you've never been in the NBA, you don't really completely understand what that looks like. And I think that the load management piece is something that I've really taken from the NBA, and we apply it to the college, you know, schemes here and what we do. So there's schematic things that we do offensively and defensively that will mimic some pro stuff to also not just help us be competitive and be different than other college programs, but also give our guys a chance that when they do get that opportunity, that tryout, they're hearing the same type of terminology, they're doing similar types of drills, and they're able to run certain flow offensive concepts that will be required of them in an NBA tryout or something like that, or a G League tryout. So we try to give them that flavor. But the load management, JR, is something that I think is a big piece that could have taken from the pro level. Like right now, this week, everybody's going from 8 hours to now 20 hours. You know, like, it's time to start full-fledged practice. Let's go out there. And if your kids have just been, depending on when you started school, like we just started school 3-4 weeks ago, for our kids just to go from 8 hours to 20 hours just because it's what it's supposed to be on the calendar isn't always the best thing per your roster or per where your bodies are, you know? So we don't really get caught up in what everybody else is doing. We say, okay, how many hours makes the most sense for our team and where we are? And let's make sure we're managing the bodies. We might not need to go from 8 to 20. Maybe we go from 8 to 14. You know, for this week and next week, see where our bodies are and then make the jump to 18. And now, instead of us having a bunch of injuries early in the season, which you see a lot of across the country, we're managing our bodies and giving our guys a chance to actually build into something instead of beating them down. So that's, you know, we kind of simulated what we learned in the NBA, and we put that, translate that to the college level, and hopefully we're able to get the best out of our guys when it's time to get the best out of them.
And you know that is so true because a lot of elite coaches who are hard nosed this time of year, the guys run out of gas come February and March. I won't name any names. I know them personally, and I'm like, it's kind of like what you're doing. But okay, some friends who are having their guys in the business going hard right now.
Yeah, and listen, going hard for us is going to – every time we step on the floor, we're going to be intense. You know, if we do something for 45 minutes, it's going to be an intense 45 minutes. If we do something for 90 minutes, it's going to be an intense 90 minutes. You know, we try not to go past 2 hours in anything that we do. You know, but it's going to be hard. You know, it's going to be intense. And then we try to take the film sessions as an opportunity for us to take a step back, you know, relax, watch things, slow things down. So when we're in actual practice – it's going, it's moving. So to play for me, you got to be able to adjust on the fly the same way you're going to have to in the pro game. You're not going to have a lot of stoppages, you know? So
exactly.
We do a lot of our teaching and our learning in film sessions, and in the actual activity of the practice, we're going to move, you know? And one of the things when I was a player, I never liked when it got stopped so many times. Once we got going, I want to go, you know? So I don't want my body getting cold. So once we get warm, it's going to be on and popping. And then we're going to take advantage of the film sessions to really break some more things down. So try to get in their minds to learn on the fly is what you're going to have to do anyway to be successful in games and make adjustments. And we try to utilize practice, the environment, to be able to prepare them for that.
Shout out to my favorite little thing I love to go and craft. Synergy, that's how I watch all my film and I know what's going on. That's how I'm going to break it down for you. That's how I'm going to break down these Atlanta Hawks for you people. Synergy gets me going, folks. That's what I use every day.
JR, breaking down some Synergy, man. Getting his analytics game tight.
You already know how many times Trae Young won a 1-5 pick and roll 100% of the time.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's talk about this in the NBA, man. Ime Udoka, brother. Now, I personally used last week to talk about Brett Favre personally because I'm like, I grew up poor as hell in Atlanta. You still the money for people who on welfare, Brett Favre. So I said, why are we talking about my man Ime, not Brett Favre, though? But I know why, but that's why the boss man's going to do this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Bro, before I take going further, a college coach who was not black called me and asked me why my attacking Brett Favre on my show. He asked me, JR, I thought you liked white people. So I'm like, you always highlight the bad stuff white people do. I said to his coach, I have a show. I'm a black host. I have to call out stuff that the mainstream white media won't call out.
Yeah.
That's why I have the Boss Man Show. I'm an independently black-owned radio show. Yeah, 100% yeah. I own this, so I'm going to highlight what I want to talk about.
Yep.
Brett Favre. Well, your media can talk about Ime Udoka off for 24 hours. But I'm going to hit Brett Favre for 4 yeah. hours. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, but bro, a college coach who has been on my show as a guest called me and asked me, was I racist? I hate white people because I
want
to collect Brett Favre.
Oh, man.
Funny stuff, right?
That's crazy. That's crazy, man.
But Ime, man, brother, don't you know you don't beat where you eat?
Oh, man. Ime. First off, you know, shout out to the amazing job he did as a coach last year.
Yes.
You know, in terms of getting that team to the NBA Finals in his first rookie season as a head coach. Talented team. This is an unfortunate season for them, for the organization, you know. And I got to say, just first off, you know, as we shout him out for what he was able to do basketball-wise, now, you know, we don't have all the information in terms of what transpired. But obviously, it was bad enough for them to feel like they had to suspend him. So it's an unfortunate situation, not just for the organization in terms of just the fans. I mean, for the players. And, I mean, this is all happening right on top of starting training camp. It's a mm-hmm. tough spot to put the organization in. Now, outside of all that, Nia Long is your lady. So Nia Long is like a national treasure, you know, in the black community right now. So, you know, like it's an unfortunate thing across the board, but it's also a reminder, you know, a good educational time for to educate our guys and you know, in athletics about. You know, just professionalism in athletics. And like you just said, don't beat what you eat, you know, and just there's way too many opportunities for you to be able to find, you know, to do that outside of your workplace. And especially it's unfortunate, like I said, because, you know, he's actually with Nia Long. And I mean, it's Nia Long, man. Like, it's Nia Long.
Yeah.
It's Nia Long, the best man. It's Nia Long, like Love Jones. It's Nia Long, man. You know,
It's
Nia Long, JR.
Yes.
You got Nia Long.
You got her. And I'm like, I said, it had to be some non-black girls. it was a black chick that went down his way.
I don't know. I saw, you know, I think it was unfortunate that everybody assumed it was the vice president of player personnel or player operations. I forget the woman's name. Everybody immediately assumed it was her. Yeah. I'm glad it came out that it wasn't her. But we don't know who the actual people are. We've seen some rumors and things like that. But JR, Nia Long, man, you got Nia Long. What are you doing? You got Nia Long.
Exactly. What are you doing? I'll be very happy with that if I had that. I don't know why you had that wandering eye, but as being in the NBA, I understand it. And see, when you are assistant coach, you can get away with this kind of stuff. You the head coach, you can't.
Yeah.
And I think that's where he messed up at.
Been an assistant for a long time now in the head coach chair, and they had a successful year, but you know, so you know, like I said, it's unfortunate for everybody. It's a tough spot. It's going to be interesting to see how the Celtics recover, rebound from this, going to training camp, and you know, that team's going to have to really rally around the interim head coach. And then it's going to be interesting to see, you know, they suspend him. Should they fire him? Should they, like, what's, you know, it's still going to be a funky thing. He gets suspended for the whole year, but this just never goes away, you know? So is it suspended and then we're getting all the facts and then we're maybe eventually going to fire you? Whatever ends up coming out, it's going to probably be a lot larger than we probably thought it was for them to make the move as aggressively as they made. So there's got to be some other information there. And he's starting to see some things starting to leak out a little bit. So, you know, well, hopefully that organization and the players there are able to lock in and focus. And they got some good dudes there, you know, that are really hungry to win a championship. So hopefully they're able to rally around this assistant coach that's taken over and they can still have a competitive season.
And I think it was what happened is they're probably going to let him go in July after the season. Yeah, and I wonder why he's going to have interest for other teams. I wonder. Because
it's a tough spot because, as we know, we're talking about, you know, African-American coaches in sports. And, you know, sometimes, you know, we know the difference, you know, when we make these mistakes, how tight it can be and how hard it can be to recover from this. So, you know, hopefully he's able to recover. It looks like he's taking some ownership and accountability in terms of winning the statement that he put out and not really trying to interfere or make it, you know, or trying to make excuses. He looked like he took accountability for what he did. And that's a start. You know, it's just going to be interesting to see where his career goes from here, you know, based off of the information and data that comes out over the next few weeks.
I think him being a pop guy, he has a chance to get another job.
I don't think we've seen the last of him coaching, you know, in the NBA. The question is, will he get another NBA whole head coaching job right away? Or will he have to go back and be an assistant to then get that? That's going to be the interesting dynamic that we're going to have to see as more information comes out about this and they get to the conclusion of what actually happened. I think how bad it was will probably determine how fast, you know, another team is able to trust in him to be a head coach. Again, in the NBA.
I would say this. He ain't killed nobody. He ain't beat nobody, I don't think.
Yeah.
Allegedly. I'm just like, so it was just sex. So.
Yeah, I think I look at what I think we froze up for a second. Who's Matt Barnes? Matt Barnes came out 2 days ago and was saying a lot of things in defense of Ime. And then less than 24 hours later, got some more information, put a post out yesterday that pulled that back and said, hey, I spoke too soon. So I think it's too fast right now to be able to say, oh yeah, he's gonna be doing anything until this whole thing plays out and we're able to see what exactly happened. Clearly the Celtics organization felt strong enough about the information that they had to say, hey, you're not coaching for the rest of the year. So there's gotta be something more there than meets the eye. So, you know, for them to make a play like that. So I think as that information comes out, then we're going to be able to be on a Zoom and say, hey, we can see him coaching next year, or hey, it might be it for him, you know. So,
Nia Long, my man.
You know, the good thing is he didn't walk out of the building in cuffs, so that's a positive, right?
Yes, that's a positive.
So, hopefully, it's like the whole thing gets cleared up and. he's able to, one of the, definitely he's a good basketball coach. He's done some great things, and hopefully he's able to get back to it, man. And Nia Long, I'm available. That's all I got to say.
He's a head coach. Yeah, I'll let him. No doubt. Now, let me ask you about your Knicks, man. Did you like the moves? Are you glad that Mitchell didn't come, or are you happy you got Brunson? Talk to me about your Knicks, man.
Knicks, you know, we always seem to be the make some poor decisions. I like the Jalen Brunson move, gives us a solid point guard. Also think he wants to be in New York, being a Villanova guy, being from that Eastern region. You know, I think he's going to take a lot of pride in being a Knick, but long way to go there. You know, you can never get too high about the Knicks because they always give you something to get low about. So let's see what the quality looks like when they get to playing.
No doubt. I think the Knicks are probably in that group with the Hawks. 9, 10, 11, 12 with the Wizards, the Charlotte, the Hawks, right in that area. So I just don't see – I just see 8 teams better than all of them. Even with Boston and M.A. Udoka, they're still better than a lot of teams in each conference. They can win in spite of him not being there, in my opinion. The playoffs might be a different story, but – during the season when nobody really scheming on you, it's just run your stuff, I think they'll be okay.
Well, we'll see, man. We'll see. I'm not as savvy with the Knicks roster right now as you are. I know you're pumped about your Atlanta Hawks and seeing what they got going on there. Anytime you got Trae Young on the floor, you're going to have a chance. His ability to stretch the floor and knock down that three is always going to give you an opportunity. So I'm curious to see what a lot of these teams do. There's some straight up veteran teams out there that are going to be really good. And then you got some teams that got some good young talent. And I think, like I said, Knicks got some good young talent. Hawks still have some good young talent. They're going to be scrappy.
Well, Teals so play them, though. That's the key, Kraft. Well, Teals play them young guys. Because my man, Cam Reddish, wants out of there.
Yeah.
I'm not saying nothing that he ain't already out in public. Yep. He wants out of New York because Teals won't play him.
Well, listen, he's going to have to look at those guys, and it's a long season, and injuries happen, and those young players bring a lot of energy. So, be interested to see how he infuses them into what he's trying to do.
And, like, here in Atlanta, Kraft, you got Trey, Murray, Hunter, Collins, Capella's a starting five, but this is our bench. Here it is out for me. Aaron Holiday, Justin Holiday, Bogdanovich, Okongwu, and Frank Kaminsky. That's our 6-10. Yeah. Then you go to Mo Harkless, Johnson from Duke, Griffin from Duke, and Tyrese Martin, who you played against at UConn.
Yeah.
We have a very thin bench.
Yeah, it's thin, but you do have some athleticism there. Not a ton of shooting there, so they're definitely going to have to – the injury piece is going to be one that's going to be something to monitor with the Hawks. They got to stay healthy because if they get injured in their top, six guys – it's going to dynamically change their ability to score the basketball. And I think they got some guys that can play some defense, but, putting the basketball in the hoop is going to matter as well. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how they're able to do that with some consistency.
And it's not I'm not saying out of school. I told Mo Harkless, we're 1.5 over the tax. You getting traded, sir, at the deadline. I already told him this. It's like, look at our cap sheet, brother.
Yeah.
We're 1.5 over. It's either you or Holiday are going to be traded in February. Get the duck attack. I'm a realist, brother. I'm a realist.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie to you. I'm like, look, this is like, we got to put a tax. I'm sorry. We're 1.5 over. You, one of you two are going to be traded away.
Yeah.
Deduct this tax. Or if we trade JC, we're going to deduct the tax that way too. So where have we, how we get there? We're ducking the luxury tax, period. We're not paying the tax.
Right.
So they was like, dang, bro. Like, I'm telling you the truth, brother.
Yeah.
We ain't paying the tax. Like, I told this to Chris Silva and Armani Brooks. We got 14 guaranteed contracts here. Y'all not making the rosters.
Yeah.
Y'all going to the College Park. You're not going to be on the roster. 15 spot is going to be open.
Listen, man. You gotta get in the front office, man. I always tell you, you gotta get an assistant director. You gotta be assistant director of player personnel or or scouting or
the cap guy.
Case may be, man. You got to manage the cap, you know, whatever the case may be over there, man. They gotta get you off the radio and off the media stuff, and they gotta be like, hey, JR, man, come on in here. Let's put some numbers on the board, man.
I'm good at this stuff. Hey, I love the cap. I know all the trade rules. I know all of that stuff. So I could never be your cap guy or your CBA guy. I know all the rules.
Too funny, man.
Yes, indeed. But Kraft, man, thank you for your time today, my brother. I do this again real soon. Best of luck to you guys, man. I'll be cheering for you guys. So let's get it going, man. Over the shore, brother.
Appreciate you, man. Hopefully I'll see you mid-year at some point and we'll be able to have some fun like we did last year mid-season. Hopefully without a COVID shutdown, right?
Hopefully. Hey, Biden said it's over. I don't believe it, but he said it's over.
Hopefully it's without a COVID shutdown, man. But looking forward to it, man. Appreciate you having me on.
Hey, before you go, Kraft, are you all playing at Charlotte?
We will be at Charlotte, playing at UNC Charlotte in the second week of the season. So we'll be down there again.
I'm making make that trip, brother.
Come on through, man.
I'm making make that trip. Depending on the schedule. what day is it?
I'll text you the date of that game. But if you could come up December 10th and we're at Duke, that's the one that I know you definitely want to get out to, man. So come out and see the Hawks, man. We're going to be on the road in some really cool locations, playing some great games, you know, across the Eastern board, and excited about it, man. That Charlotte game is going to be on November 14th. We're also down in Virginia on November 7th to tip off the season versus Old Dominion, and then also back in Virginia on November 25th and December 2nd playing against Virginia and Liberty. So, you know, the DMV stand up. We'll also be at George Mason on December 6th and playing George Washington down in D.C. on November 10th. So a lot of good games in the DMV area, in that North Carolina area. And we're excited to be a part of all these great opportunities as we continue to build this program.
The 14th, I'm in Milwaukee with the Bucks, unfortunately, but the 10th could work. We come back from Brooklyn that morning. So gotcha, I can make that trip up to the room. That might work. The 10th might work, brother.
Come on, man. Come on through, man. Come on through. See the camera crazy. See the Hawks go out there and try to pull off an upset.
No doubt, my brother. Kraft, man. Be safe, my brother. I'll talk to you real soon, my guy.
Appreciate you, man. Talk to you soon.
See you, man.
What's up, family? BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports, contests, events with first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews and news for every league from the MLB, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information, from live in-game betting, props, and futures. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to join today and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50, BLEAV50, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts, who's a proud sponsor of the Boss Man Show on your radio.